Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Bechoras Mem Zayin. We begin on the very top line. Interesting question. Itma, we have learned as follows. Hayuloi banim. So, a fellow had children. B'yoysoi yo'evit kichav. In the old life, he had some kids, and then he became a ger, vinis ger. What's his status vis-a-vis the other children? Rabbi Yechon Omer, ein lo b'char l'nachla. He says the new child, born after conversion, is not regarded as a b'char, as a firstborn. Now, yesterday we discussed there are two types of b'char, two types of firstborns. We have b'char first to the mother. So when it's her first, that's considered peter rechem. He opened the womb first, so he is subject to the mitzvah of pidyon haben, the five sela given to the kohen, exchange, right? That relates to mother's firstborn. Whereas you have another type of b'char, called b'char l'nachla. He's entitled to two portions, pishnayim, by the father's inheritance, and that relates to the father. That's only if he's the father's firstborn. So here we have a kid who's technically not his first, but it's the firstborn Jewish child. Rabbi Yechon says, "Ein li b'char l'nachla." The new kid that arrives now, Mazel Tov, he's not going to be considered the Bechor L'Nachla, because technically he's not the father's firstborn, since he already had children in his old life. Rishim Alokish Eimer, no. Become a Yid, it's a new slate, new record. We don't factor in the children born prior to conversion with respect to granting b'char status for Nachla. Yesh l'b'char l'Nachla, this newcomer is considered the firstborn regarding Nachla. And the Gemara explains the two positions. Rabbi Yechon Omer, ein l'b'char l'Nachla. He's locked out of b'char l'Nachla. Look, the havali reishis einai, because he already had reishis einai, his first, you know, koyach, his first expression. He already had kids, despite the fact that they are non-Jews. Reb Shimon Lakish Omer, Yesh Lebchar L'Nachla. This newcomer is considered Lebchar L'Nachla. It's a new realm, a new mitzius. Ger Shen is Geir. When a fellow becomes a Ger, he's like a newborn child, a new entity, brand new slate. Kikot Shnil Adam, he's like a newborn child, in which case we start counting anew. This new child is like his first. And it's considered Rashi's only his first strength, his first expression, his firstborn. V'azlo tamayim, really, this machlek is links onto a different machlek. It's very similar between these very two same opinions. The Itzmar. Hoyloi banav yeseb kichav minizgar. Okay, he had kids and they became a ger. Rabbi Yechon Omer kiyem priya v'rivya. He's in fulfillment of the first mitzvah of the Torah, pru revu, to bear children. He had children. Fact is, he has children, despite their goyish identity. Rabbi Shimon Alokish Omer lo kiyem. He has not fulfilled. Why? Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yechon Omer kiyem. The fact is, the Torah, Pasuk in Yeshaya, describes the mitzvah as the point of populating the world, and he did. He has offspring that populated the world, despite their non-Jew status. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Lo Kiyem Pir V'Rivya. We don't attribute those kids to him because he's a new entity. Yerushim is Gaia, Kikotin Shnei Ludami, in which case he cannot factor in the old kids. Utsricha. What's the point of discussing this very same concept in two variations. It seems like it's merely a repetition. No, each one carries its own lesson. Di itma b'hoka maisa. Had we only mentioned the first machlekes, between Rabbi Yechon, who says that the newcomer is not considered a bachar since he already has kids, versus Rish Lakish says that hits his new his first child after conversion, and therefore he's considered bachar l'nachla. Di itma b'hoka maisa. If we only discussed that first discussion, b'hoka m'rishim l'lakish. Perhaps over there Rish Lakish says, you know why this newcomer is bachar l'nachla? Because there really isn't another child competing for that slot. Because the Geisha kids are not Bnei Nachla, they're not entitled to inherit. So, regarding Nachla, this kid is the first candidate. And therefore, he occupies the Bachar status. Aval Baha, but regarding the question of populating the world and Pru Rabu, Ema Moida Leil Rabbi Yechon, perhaps he would be in agreement with Rabbi Yechonon. The purpose, the objective of Peru Uruvu is the Loitoya Barod L'Shavas Yitzhar. Hashem did not want the world to be desolate, rather to be populated. V'ha Avalei Shavas, in fact, as he did do Shavas, he did populate the world, despite their non-Jew status. So I would think perhaps he agrees. No, he doesn't. You can't, you know, sort of credit him for that. V'itman Baha, on the other hand, if we only discuss a second question about Peru Urvu, I would perhaps speculate, Baha Kamar V'ichna. It's only here that it's a matter of populating the world. Rabbi Yechon says, okay, that also counts. Aval Baha, but in the case of Bachar, Ema Moidele L'Rabshim Malakish, perhaps he would agree to his opponent that in terms of Nachlo, inheritance, privileges, we start a new record, and this first Jewish child is in fact considered the Bechor Tzricha. That's why we discuss both cases, to teach that, no, they maintain their respective positions regardless of the circumstance. Now comes Akasha on Rabbi Yechonon, who says, We will factor in the children from the old life regarding Nachla, regarding Peru Revu, Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah we had yesterday. Mi shaloi hayu loy banim. A fellow had no kids, so this is going to be his first. V'nasa ishet kvar yaldi, married a woman who already had kids. Oida shifcha v'nestachra. Let's say she had kids when she was still a maid servant, not really fully Jewish, and now she's freed. Oida oibed eskechabim nizgayri. She had it while ago, and now she converted. Ushabas l'Israel yold. So all these variations where she had kids, and now, once she arrived at the Jewish scene, malatav, she has a boy. What's the status of this boy? Well, he's first to the father, but not first to the mother. So therefore, Vlada Bachar L'Nachla is considered first regarding Nachla, because that is reckoned vis-a-vis the father. Veinu Bachar L'Koyin, but not regarding Koyin, because that relates to the mother. Now let's further analyze what happened here. Who fathered the? We know the mother's situation, but who fathered this child? Yalda Miman, from whom? Ilei Mim Yisrael. Shloi Hayu Levanim. Is the father is a Yisrael who's having a child for the first time? So why get involved in all kinds of complications, all kinds of additional very complexities about a convert and a freed maidservant to highlight this case? My Yuri Yeris v'Shifcha. Why bother relating to a Yeris and a Shifcha who had her child before she can? I feel a Bas Yisrael Nami, even if she was a regular Bas Yisrael who already had kids. It's irrelevant because, yeah, it's not her first, but it's his first. The same halacha would apply regardless. Why not just keep the case simple and straightforward? Elalav Megir. Oh. Shehoi Labanim Beneskai. Apparently, we're speaking that her husband also shared a similar experience. He was a a ger, he was once a guy who had kids, and now, when his geyer, he converted. Or he was once an eved, now he goes freed. So the husband and wife are pretty much on the same track. And despite the fact that he already had kids in his old life, how do we treat this newcomer? His first Jewish-born son, Uktani, and says, Bechar l'nachla! He's considered a Bechar b'zavi nachla. So that's a kasha on Rabbi Yechon, who says, no, we have to factor in the old kids. Loy l'Yisrael, shloy l'banim. No. Certainly we're speaking about a child who was fathered by a Yisrael who had no kids whatsoever. It's not like he had kids in his own. He never had kids. As to your question, so why complicate the case in terms of the mother's side that she had a child when she was a guy? The same exact din would apply if she had a kid when she was a yid. Now this is her second, but that doesn't matter vis-a-vis the father who's this is first. So what's the point of? The point is to highlight the second aspect. This newcomer, although he's first to the father, but since he's not first to the mother, he's not a bechor l'kohen. It's strictly that's the point we want to highlight. Despite the fact that the mother's prior experience, the prior child, happened when she was still a guy. Nevertheless, the next one is no longer Peter Rechem. As opposed to Rechem, says no. Even vis-a-vis the mother, we start a new fresh slate. And since it's the first Jewish born, he's considered Peter Rechem, even regarding Kohen. So we're trying to sort of oppose that. Shita, the Amma B'chor L'Nachla L'Kohen. He says that the firstborn, in this case, is a B'chor on all respects, Nachla and Kohen. Shinam Peter Rechem B'Yisrael. He opened the wound when she was a Yisrael. Achiv the Rechem B'Yisrael. Has to be Jewish born at Peter Rechem. Kamash Madaloi. Comes the mission and says, no, we disagree with that. Tanakama takes a different position. The fact is, it's a physiological type of transformation. The fact is, she already gave birth, even though spiritually it's a different entity. It's a Goyisha child, doesn't matter. Peter Rechem is a physical experience, which already happened, and this child is now absolved of that. Status. Kamash Mandala. Toshmai comes another Akasha on Rabbi Yechon, who says that we always factor in the old kids. Toshmai, how you like Banabi Yeshid Kacham in his guy? So now the father, okay, he had children while he was a guy, now he converted. This Mazel Tov, this new kid now, Yeshla Bechala Nachla, is considered Bechala Nachla. Whoops, what do you mean? Kot Rabbi Yechonon, he's not number one. What happened to the old kids? Omar Avina, Vitema Samser of Acha. You're right, Havada Risek Lilihu. This is again Risek Lili speaking. That just like regarding the mother's record, the Jewish firstborn is considered Petarechem, the same exact regarding the father's record. So he applies the same concept to the father as well. Reishis Oinoi denotes first Jewish born child. Rabbi Yitzchak Lilihu, the Amar Peter Rechem Yisrael, Achayif to Rechem Yisrael, and just like regarding mothers, Peter Rechem, first Yisrael is considered the Peter Rechem, Yalof Iu, and he also learns him, Mina, Dida, Yalof Iu, he learns the Halacha regarding father, so the determination of Peter, of Reshus Oini regarding father, is likened to her formula. Mina did that from the woman as well. Meaning, just like by the woman side of things, the Peter Rechem, and as the Peter Rechem Yisrael, first Jewish born is considered Peter Rechem. Likewise, Reshus Oine regarding the father, first Jewish born is considered Reshus Oine. But that's Rabbi Segli's opinion. Tanakama disagrees. He'll hold. After all, it's not his first, because we factor in the children of his old life. Okay, so in conclusion, a ger shows up with a busload of kids. Are they his? Are they not? Regarding Pru Revu, regarding Nachlo. So Nachal would translate into a question of whether the next child, Mazel Tov, the one that's born as a Yid, does he consider himself a part of Nachal, or do we say no, he's already been preempted by the other kid? Rabbi Yechon says we factor in the old kids, Rosh Hashanah says no. Now, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, we'll start a fresh slate, Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, and also Rosh Hashanah B'Yisrael. Amar Bada Baraba. Okay, a brand new concept. We know that a Kohen father, a Levi father has a firstborn son, it's exempt from Pitin HaBen. What about a mother from a Kohen family, a mother from a Levi family who has a firstborn? My mother, my mother's a Bas Kohen. So if I would have been first, I would have been Pata from Pitin HaBen. So says Rav Adar Bar Ava. Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Levi Shiyoda, a woman from a Levi family, Shiyoda, who gives birth, but not Pater Mei Chamish Slam, he's exempt from the Pidin HaBen. Now, let's analyze. Who's the father here? The Aber, the Ibor, the conception, who was the father? Miman, from whom? Elim, the Aber, Mikoyin, Levi, is the father also Koyin, Levi? Now forget about the mother. That in itself is reason enough to exempt the child. My area, why get involved in a Leviya? A mother Levi, a filial Israelis, even if she's a regular Israelis from Israel family, the child is exempt on account of the father. Ella must be the Abba Israel. Father's Israel. So that begs the question. Who determines the lineage, the yichus, of the child? The father does. Right, Ksiv? So why are we reckoning with the mother? Amra Papa, so you have two turrets. Papa says, you're right. It must be that the father was a guy. Okay, and the guy has no lineage, so the father is sort of discounted off the equation. He's the leader off the record, and now the child will default to the mother, who's a lady. So this case, which is a unique case, we don't really have a father as part of the equation. The child would identify with the mother, and since she's a lady, from a lady family, he's exempt from Pidin HaBen. Amar Papa the Abram Kichav. But don't think there's a big machlekes back in Yavamas. A child was fathered by a guy. A child from a Jewish woman fathered by a guy. Some say a mezamin. Mezamin means to dirty, like to spiritually taint the child. We don't taint the child. He's not considered a mamzer. So, according to that opinion, certainly we could understand why this child of the Levi mother identifies with the mother, because he's considered like a Levi. Even according to the opinion that we do taint the offspring, in this case it's like a mamzer, still, Levi Pasul Mikri, although he's tainted, but he still has somewhat of a Levi label to him. He's Levi Apostle, Mikri, he's called Levi Apostle, in which case, again, he's exempt from Chamesh Slaim. That's Rapapa's opinion. In order to exempt a child of a Levi from Chamesh Slaim, of a Levi, I mean, inevitably the father has to be a guy, so he's sort of off the picture, he's out of the picture, and we just relate to the mother, who's a Levi, that's reason to exempt the child. Marbre the Rabbi Yisav Amar Mishmei the Rabbi. He says, no, you don't have to resort to the guy. Lo'elam Devam Yisrael. Certainly, we're speaking that the father was a Yisrael. So then, it triggers that, you know, the question: why would you consider the child a Levi? Right, Yichus is based on the father, not by Peter Rechem. V'Shani Hasam. Here it's different. Regarding Pidin HaBen, it's a totally different story. Shani Hasam. There it has a different system. Damakro Peter Rechem. Whoever opens the womb, it relates to the mother's experience. Peter Rechem Tel Rechman Torah hinges it on the mother. She's a Levia, child is part. Okay, so bottom line, Rabbi Brava teaches us a Levia who bears a child is exempt from Pidin HaBen. Who's the father? Our Papa says it must be a guy, in which case he's out of the picture. So now the child reverts the mother status with Levia. Okay. Rabbi Papa says, Marbre the Rav Yosef, Mishmei the Rabba says, even if there's a Yisrael involved, but Peter Rechem denotes that it relates to the mother, and therefore she's exempt. Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah and have a look at this halacha again. Mishai loy banim, a fellow already had kids. V'nasa ishish loy yalda, he married a woman who's giving birth for the first time. Examples of which are nizgayru muberes, nishtach muberes. So the fellow was a guy, and he fathered, and she conceived from him, and now they both converted. She converted while carrying the child, nishtach muberes, so she was freed from slavery while she was carrying the child. Okay, now we have more cases. We're trying to find cases where the child will be subject to Pidin HaBen, he's considered the first to his mother, but does not have inheritance privileges vis-a-vis the father. So another case is V'yolda Hiv Kehenes Hiv Leviya. Standard case, two women went into the delivery room. It's her first child, right? And she's giving birth, and it's dark. They mixed up the kids in the hospital. So she gave birth, and the Kehenes gave birth alongside her. Or Hiv Leviya. A regular Israelis mother gives birth together with a Leviya. Hiv Isha Shekva Yolda. Her child got mixed up with another child of a woman who already gave birth in the past. So in all these cases, you have certainly one baby who is considered subject to Pidin HaBen, you just don't know which one, so ultimately you have to do Pidin on one of them. V'chein mishir lo yisha, so achri bal gimel chadosh benisis. You have a woman who remarried in haste without observing the mandated 3-month wait period between marriages. The older Nasha gives birth 7 months down the road. We don't know if he's belonging to the second husband, Shimon, a 7-month baby there, or perhaps he belongs to Reuben, the old husband, he's a 9-month baby. Then you do, we don't know, in Ben Tesla Rishon, it means Ein La'achron, is he Reuben's child, Shimon's child? In all these situations, including the case where the Israelis mother gave birth for the first time together in a room with a Kehenes or Leviya, whose children are Pater, but she is Chayiv, so one of these children is Chayiv, Bechor LeKoyen, so you have to do the Pidin HaBen to satisfy the obligation of one of these kids, Veina Bechor LeNachla, but they're not considered Bechor LeNachla because they can't identify the father. In any case, what do we deduce from here? Mechalal, apparently the Kuhuna, or the Kehenes, is a good the Kehenes, or Leviya, the Kehenes woman, the Leviya woman, are a Peturin. Their child is exempt. Now we're assuming a Kehenes means she's a product of a Kohen family, not necessarily married to a Kohen. She's a daughter of a Levi family, but not necessarily married to a Levi. So that's the question. The Avram Iman, who fathered their child? Elim with the Avram Iman of Levi, are they married to a Kohen Levi? Then forget about the fact that she's a Kehenes Leviya. The child is exempt from Pidin HaBen on account of the father was a Kohen Levi. Iach, if that's the case, my area Kohen Levi, why bother speaking about a woman as a Kohen Levi? I feel about Yisrael, even if she's from a Yisrael family, the exemption is on account of the father who's a Kohen Levi. Apparently, it was not a typical situation. The one who fathered the child of the Kohenes was a guy. Says the Gemara, hold it. Kehenes Petura, so then the child of this Kehenes will be Pater from Pidin HaBen. As soon as she interacts with a goy, a Kehenes gets so tainted that she loses her kain privileges, a kain status. Vamar Papa asked us, it told us, Badaklan Rabba gave us a riddle, a question. Kehenes Shinus Abra Bavid Kichav. Ma, what's the status of a Kohen woman who got involved with a guy? What's her status? Is the child Pater from Pidin HaBen or not? Okay, so that was the question. I answered him, well, I would assume he's exempt. But Amina Lav Hainu Deravada Bar Ava, isn't that the famous halacha that we learned before? The Amor says, Leviya Shiyalda, a Levi woman who gives birth for the first time, but not Pater Mechamesh Tam, is exempt. I would assume the same as a Kehenes, despite having interacted with a guy who fathered this very child. Varmali says, no, how can you compare? In this case, she lost her kahuna status because of this experience with the guy. Certainly by the Levi, she will maintain her kedusha despite interacting with a guy, because this only affects a kehenis. You know, the higher standards you have, the higher the bar is, the harder you fall, right? The more to lose. But by a levia, doesn't have a similar effect. The sani we learned in a brisa, levia shenishbis, a sheniv levias nus, a woman from a levi family was taken captive, or she got involved with something improper, she still maintains her privileges, her levi privileges. Nois laman a maser, by a chelet, she can take the maser, she can eat it. But by a kohen, it's not so, a kehenis, but a woman from a kohen family, kiva di boila, once she gets involved with a goy, havel azor, now she becomes a non-kohen, she loses that status. So the kid would not be labeled as a ben kohenes. So that takes us back to the question. So how can the Mishnah state that a firstborn of a kohenes, which we assume means a woman who's a child of a kohen family, who similarly interacted with a goy, that child is still potter from Pidna Ben? Why? Once the mother loses her status, the child is like any other child who's chayv Pidna Ben. So now, Honech Lamabre de Rav Yisrael de Rava. So according to the second approach that we had before, Damo says the Abim Yisrael, that even if the father was a regular Yisrael, still we identified the child with the mother. And, you know, if the mother is a Levia or Kehenes, the child carries over to the child. So here as well, Mukul Medav Yisrael, we could explain this. Mishnah speaking that the Kehenes was involved with Yisrael. There was no going involved, so the child is a Ben Kain Pat. El Rapapa, but according to Rapapa's approach, he says, no. The only way it works is if there's a guy involved. The father is a guy, so then he's off the table. We ignore him, and the child defaults to the mother. But my Mukul Medav, how could he explain this halacha? The Elayla, right? Meaning if is a guy involved, then fine. So this works by a Levia, because Levia maintains her status, which carries over to the kids, gives them the exemption. But by the Kehenes, which is the other case in the Mishnah, once she gets involved with a guy, all bets are wrong. Guess what? We're talking that the father was a Kohen. Vivas Yisrael. And we mistakenly understood that the term Kehenes refers to a woman from a Kohen family. No, she was a regular Bas Yisrael who happened to be married to a Kohen. And that explains why the child is exempt. If I might call it Kehenes, why does the Mishnah call it Kehenes? The B'na Kohen, because the child's a Kohen, so we call her a Kohen. It doesn't, it relates to the status of the child, but we're not speaking that she's a Kehenes. So it's unrelated to our whole discussion. Okay, so bottom line, Rav Adar Bar Rava teaches us that regarding Pidna Ben, a child off a Levia or off a Kehenes is part of Pidna Ben. You have two ways to explain. Either the father was a Yisrael, and nevertheless the child identifies with the mother because Peter Rechem aligns him with the mother, and since she's a Levia or Kehenes, the child is Pater. Or we're speaking that there was a guy involved, in which case he's out of the equation, and the child is aligned with the mother, and therefore gets exempted due to her status. Return to Amud Beis. Itmar Kohen Shemes. Okay, so we have a new case. A Kohen passed away. V'nech ben Cholom. Fact is, the Kohen was improperly married to a divorcee, etc., and the child was now labored a Cholom. Cholom is Lashon of Chol, of Chulin. He lost his Kohuna status. Rashi on the top line says, Ben Cholom ki Yisrael Dami. He has a status pretty much like a regular Yisrael. V'chai b'b'chayrav. He's a firstborn. He's subject to the mitzvah Pidna Ben. Okay, so now the Kohen father happened to die as well. Kohen Shemes, V'niach Mechal left over this infant who's a Chalo. Question. Typically the father addresses the Pidna Ben obligation, but let's say the father doesn't. Halacha is the child, when he grows up, he has to take care of himself. He paid himself. What happens to this child? On the one hand, you can say, look, he was Chayv Pidna Ben, there's no father, he has to do it. On the other hand, you can say, the fact that the father was a Kohen, even if the father would had to dump Pidna Ben, but he would keep the money. So perhaps the child can argue likewise. Let's listen. Mr. Kohen, I don't owe you the money, because you know, this money I got from my father, and my father would have kept the money, would have pocketed the money. You can't demand more from me than from my father. Who was the you know, was the source of this obligation, so to speak. Itmar Kohen Shemeis Rinei Ech Ben Chala. Rav Chizda Amar HaBen Chayiv Liftei Sesam. The child has to go redeem himself and give it to the Kohen. Rav Huna Amar, no, Ein Chayiv Liftei Sesam. He doesn't have to. Now, what happened? When did the father die? We know that the obligation of Pidna Ben only kicks in at day 30, right? Once the child hits 30 days, he's confirmed as a viable child. Kolecha demis demesa av lachashloishim. Suppose the father died past 30, in which case the obligation had already been activated. Then I've been chayv lizatzim. All agree in this case the child is not obligated to redeem himself. Why? Sharei zocha avi b'fidyoni. Because the father already acquired the rights, the privilege to hold on to that money. The chiv had already been activated. And the father sort of was zaycha to keep the money, and that zechus, that entitlement, that privilege gets transferred. It carries over to the kid now. So it's no question that he keeps the money. Completely, the question is, heicha demesav b'toyach shleishim yom. So suppose the father died before the child hit 30, in which case the obligation had not yet been activated. So now we have machlokes. Rav Chizda Amar haben chayev liftei sesatz. My child has to redeem himself. The holy zocha of b'pidyoni. Father never actually acquired zuchus to hold on to the money. He never got that far. Rav Barfun Amar says no. Ein haben chayev liftei sesatz. Ask me, forget it. The kid doesn't have to do it. Amar lei, because he can tell the kohen. You know where I'm coming from? Who was initially obligated? The father, right? My father would have kept the money. Osina, I'm coming mikoyach kara on account of a person delay matzis lishta uye. You can't even speak with him in matters of claims. Meaning, you couldn't have gotten anything from him. Delay matzis lishta uye din bade with him. Had my father done pidyon, he would have kept the money. Likewise, I'm going to do the same. Tana. Okay, so we have an interesting machlokes. Let's take a look at our mission. Which speaks about a case of Nisgairu Muberes Bechor Lekoin. So it's her firstborn. She converted while she was expecting. This firstborn is a Bechor regarding Koin as well. Why? Why does he have to pay the Lay Malay? You can tell the Koin, you know, Mr. Cohen, you know who my father is? He's John, the guy. Asina Makoyach Gav, I'm coming on account of a man. You can't get any money out of him. So that should carry over to me as well? No, says the one, Shani, Ovid Kachama, guy is different. He doesn't really identify with his father. He's a new, Rashi says, he's like a newborn, new entity. But in our case, we're talking about everyone's Yirin. So certainly, he can base his claim on his father. Amar Rab Shimon, Yasinya, Amar Rab Shimon, Lakish. What's the conclusion on our matter? It's all about timing. Koyin Shemes Dechshaleshim, the father died within 30 days. Menech Ben Chalol, and left behind this Ben Chalol, HaBen Chayv Lizatzmai. The child has to go ahead and do Pidyon. Why? Shelo Yizocha. HaPidyon, practically the father never acquired the actual money because there was no obligation yet, there was no chiv yet, but if it happened after 30 days, in which case the chiv had already been activated, ein haben chayev lifta is atzve, child grows up, doesn't have to do pidyon haben, shari zocha b'pidyon, because the father actually was zoche in that money, and that zochus carries on to the kid. Next, v'chein mishleishon sachabal g'mechadosh v'chul. Okay, so you have this interesting child who's in limbo, stuck between two families. The mother married in haste without doing the 3-month wait to differentiate between the families to allow for properly identifying this child, and now we have a newcomer 7 months into the new marriage. Is he part of the second family, the Schwartz family? Was he part of the first family, the Green family? So, since he's her firstborn, in terms of the mother, so he's a Bechor L'Kayin, but he's not a Bechor L'Nachlo. Who is he going to claim against? He doesn't even know if he's from the Green or the Schwartz. Now, Bechor L'Nachlo Lehavi, so you mean he's not entitled to double pay, but he gets a basic portion of inheritance? Hukapush at Shachar, he takes like a push, like a regular son, but my how? He doesn't even know which family he belongs to. Lezel Gabihai. he approaches the Green family, Lidchai, they'll send him to the Schwartz family. And vice versa, Lagabi Hai, they go to the next one, Lidchai, they'll push him back to the other. How could he get a penny? Omer Rabbi Yirmi, Nitzrucha Leba Achrav. You're right, we're not talking about his rights. He's excluded. Either way, we're talking about the next kid. The child that comes behind him. The next child that's born to the Schwartz family. The mission means like this. Bechor l'koin, this child in limbo is a bechor for koin because he's his mother's first. Okay, Baba Achra, the one that comes after him, Eim chalonachla, he will not get double pay. Even from the second family, even from the Schwartz family. Why? Listen to this. Because the brothers in the Schwartz family can say, look, you? You're not the bechor. The one before you is the bechor. Because he belongs to the Schwartz family. Okay, so the first one will come running. What would you say? I'm the Bukhar? Okay, let me have it. No, it's not you. It's the next one. So basically, they can ping pong back and forth. So these two kids are deprived of their Bukhar Lanachla. Ask the Gemara, but why can't they just authorize each other? They can team up against the brothers. Say, look, it's either me or you, right? Liftavar Shah, Shah means an authorization. Ladadi, they can issue the hashah to each other because it's one of these two who's the firstborn of the Schwartz family. The mission is talking happens to be shalei b'hashah that there was no hashah issued, but theoretically you can do that. No, but later on we're going to depict the Mishnah as speaking with hashah. So back to the question, why can't they use that means of collection? Listen to this, it's a writer, Rabbi Yanai, who says it's not applicable in this case. Don't Rabbi Yanai, Harsha, only in certain cases. Let's say, Hukru, this is a classic mixed up in the hospital case. So you have two families, okay, a child from this family, a child from this family, and they got mixed up in the hospital. Now, We did identify each child when he was born as being part of the Green family, part of the Schwartz family, then they got mixed up. Since, at a given point in time, they were in fact positively identified. You're from the Green, you're from the Schwartz. So even though a mix-up occurred later, they could take that right, that privilege, that claim, and authorize each other, sort of pool their resources. Koishvin Harshah, Zalazet, they can make a show with each other. Look, between the both of us, we're entitled to a portion of the Green inheritance and a portion of the Schwartz. We happen not to know who's who. That's irrelevant. But in our case, loy hukru, ubusevnis arvav, there was no recognition at a certain point before they got mixed up. Because in our case, it was simply a perpetual unknown. We don't know. Because she married in haste without doing the wait period. We don't know who's who, right? We never did. Ein koisan ashol zelot kindu ashol zelot. So in this case, they're both deprived from the Bechor L'Nachla. Okay, let's recap. We have a Kain who passed away, leaving behind a Chalal who needs Pidyon. This child has to be paid. Could he say, look, the money's coming from my father who was exempt? He would have kept the money. He was a Kain, right? Just like my Tevel, right? Kain can't eat Tevel. He has to separate the Truma, but he can keep it. In this case, he has to do pidyon for his son who is a challah, but he can keep the money. So the conclusion was, it all depends on the timing. If he died before shloshim, which is still pre-activation of the chiyuv, so then the child has to do pidyon. But if he died after shloshim, the father was already zeich in the pidyon, that chus carries on to the kids. Interesting discussion regarding a mix-up, two different cases. Sometimes our shot works, sometimes not. Continues the Hilga Mishnah. Ezo b'chor l'nach u'l'koin. Okay, finally we have a fellow who can wear both hats. He's considered firstborn regarding father's inheritance and also regarding Pidyon HaBen. Now, of course, the Mishnah is not going to give us a straightforward, simple case. The Mishnah typically gives us cases with a twist because obviously a regular healthy kid is going to have both status. No, we're speaking about a unique case once again. Apelles Shafir. Molemayim was speaking that this newborn healthy child came along following a prior miscarriage, which does not have a lach status and therefore is disregarded, rendering this one as the real firstborn to the mother, entitled to all the bechor statuses. So what happened prior? Hapela shvir malimayim, she miscarried this oyer, this flesh, this skin full of a sack full of water, malidam, blood, malignin, colors. They're not reckoned as offspring, and you just disregard it. Hapela is kumidagam chagam shkatsim ramasim, she miscarried something that looked like a fish, a grasshopper, or kinds of creatures. Hapela slim arboim, or she miscarried on day 40 or less to conception, in which case it's not considered yet a halak fetus. Bachareim, the one that comes behind them, is the firstborn regarding all matters. What about Yitzhak Doifen, child born unnaturally by Caesarean? Vabachar, the one that follows him. Shneyan Einon Bechor Lelenach Lelkoin, they both lose their Bechor status regarding all matters. Why? Because for Koin, you have to be Peter Rechem, born naturally, not Yitzhak Doifen. And regarding Nachla as well. And certainly the one that follows is not the first, so that's it. They're both deprived of both status. Shimon Oimer, no. I disagree. Rishon Lanachla, firstborn is Rishus Oinai, despite being born by Caesarea. Vashem, the Chamesh Slaim, the second one is the first, Petarecha, first naturally born. He gets the Pidna Ben. The Gemara first explains the Tanakama. Rishon Lanachla, why is the first Caesarean exempt from Nachla? Yodeloi Be'inan. Yodeloi. It's the born Loi, the way it normally happens, naturally. Derech Leida, says Rashi. The Chomish Shloim Nami Loi, he's not going to be Chayim Pidna Ben. Peter Rechem Be'inan has to be Peter Rechem, which he's certainly not. He was born without Peter Rechem. What about the one that follows him? Sheni L'Nachla, he's not going to be entitled to inheritance. Double portion. Rishus Oinu Be'inan has to be the first strength, the first expression of the father's strength. He's not. He's the second on the scene. Rishus Oinu Be'inan. And certainly the Chomish Shloim Nami Loi. And why not Chomish Shloim? The fact is, he's the first womb child. Because Sabri holds Bechor L'Davar Echad. Since he's only first regarding one element, he's Peter Rechem, but in terms of the child count, he's number two. Lava Bechor is not considered Bechor. That's Tanakam. So both, the first Caesarean and the one that followed him naturally, both exempt from both status. Shimon Oimer, no. Harishon Lo Nachla, Vashen L'Chomish Shloim. First one is Rishus Oinu, the second one is Peter Rechem. Why? Shimon Tamei Domar Teled Rabbi Yitzhak Doifen. Shimon follows his opinion stated elsewhere that the pasuk says Teled, the extra word Teled, that regarding Tumas Leda, even if the woman gives birth Derech Yitzhak Doifen by Caesarean, it's regarded halachically as a birth regarding the status of the Yimei Tumah, etc. Regarding Nachla as well. V'Hashen El Chamesh Sloim, the second one which followed through the Peter Rechem. He's considered for Chamesh Shloim, because Sabi holds Bechor Davech, Lame Bechor. Even though he's only Bechor regarding one element, a Peter Rechem, he's considered a Bechor, and he's a Chayv, Bin Naben. Okay, Matat Lachop, Surah Stavis, all the best.